It sure is kind of fun to see Cannawood starting to ooze out into the neighborhood and have impact. As we look forward to a time in the future, near future here, where we'll move to maybe another facility, the idea is to have impact in that place that we're being put. And so just be keeping in prayer about that. Pray for the people who are making those decisions, looking for that place, and then realize things like going out here to the park and serving and things like Angel Tree for people in the area through Christian Social Services are great ways to reach out and to impact. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to say thanks to you, an opportunity to praise you. Something, Father, we do now in part, but in the future we will do rather full time as we see you as you are. And we respond to you the only way we can with worship and praise. So, Father, now I pray that you would challenge us by your word this morning. Father, I pray that because of your word this morning, we'd be retaught, that we'd be reprogrammed, that we'd be restructured on the inside to be people who thank you first above all. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I got to tell you this. You know, a lot of people in my life have done a lot of squirrely things. And the fun thing is, now that I'm not anywhere near them, I can just tell stories. And I know you've read for the past maybe 15, 20 years that we've moved into more of a customer service-based economy where more and more people are doing more and more stuff for us. And the thing I keep hearing from people that do work for other folks is the one thing that's missing is nobody's saying thanks for what goes on. I even hear parents complain that my kids don't say thanks. I hear older parents say that the grown kids don't say thanks. It just seems to be a lack of that kind of thanks. It got really personal with me a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, I was out with a friend having lunch, and he's one of those guys who's rather, persnickety. Rather particular when he goes to a restaurant and orders. So it's not enough just to order like everybody else does, but he does his order, and then he says this. I'd like the right side of the meat cooked like this, the middle side cooked like this, the other side cooked like this, and I'd like my vegetables done this way and this way and this way. And if you're a server, you know what I'm talking about here. He issues about four or five different orders to change his order just a little bit the way he likes it. And that's fine. And the girl took off for the kitchen, and she came back, and she brought every single thing just like he wanted. And I sat there watching this and thought, man, she has really gone out of her way to make sure this dude is taken care of. And she put the stuff on the table, and he literally sat there and looked at it and went like this. Yeah. And I was like, and I've known the guy for a while. And I said to him, you didn't even say thanks to her. And he said, I don't have to. She's getting paid for what she does. Just let that, you who serve other people at times, let that land and see how that fits. But you know what? I've noticed that this trend is going on in places like that where people are serving. It's going on in the workplace. It's going on, hold it, it's going on in families. What? This is going to get a little bit more particular. It's going on in relationships. Stop right there, husband and wives. When's the last time you got a thank you from your spouse? Think about it. Okay, you got the idea. Parents with kids, think about it. When's the last time you got a thank you? Friends, when's the last time you got a thank you? Or I appreciate what you're doing. Think of it. Hold it in the church. When's the last time you heard somebody say to that person, thank you for what you do? Yeah, it's crept in everywhere. As you study the scripture, one of the key elements about us that makes us different than everybody else is that we are people who are thankful. We worship like we just did and acknowledge God, and we're thankful to Him. And because of that thankfulness, we are thankful to each other, and we relate with each other that way. And here's the key difference about us. We are like that no matter what the situation. It's almost goofy when you think about it. Goofy's a great term. Write it down. It means extremely silly. Ludicrous. It's goofy. But when things go really well, guess what we do? We thank God. And when things don't go so well, guess what we do? We thank God. It doesn't make a difference. That's what makes this so distinctively different than anything else. It's our constant reaction. It's our constant response. And theoretically, out there, we should be known by the moniker that is a thankful person because he realizes what God has done for him, and he's had a really bad year as we look at things like that. And the reason is because we get the big picture. What's the big picture? You and I have come to realize life is this short. And what's going to happen is this life is going to come to an end. And because of belief in Jesus Christ, the big picture, we know that we're with Him forever. And we rest in that fact. It allows us to sleep at night. But you know what else we know? We know that He wants to spend us and use us for the time He's got us here. As His voice, as His vehicle, as His representative. So not only do I know what my future is, but I know what my now is. I'm a representative of Him, where He has strategically placed me at home, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, with the friendships and relationships I have. I have been placed there to represent Him. It's really kind of neat. But in light of this fact, which is kind of exciting, reality creeps in. I made a list. The reality creeps in that it's easy to praise God when times are good. But you know what? There are hurtful times. There are disappointing times. There are times of grief. You know this. There are sick times. So I made a list. These things take us off our game as far as being thankful. Now I'm going to do this list, and somebody in here is going to get depressed before we're done, but let me do it just for, not for fun. Let me just do this, okay? You know, health is a critical thing for a lot of us. We enjoy our health. We love our health when it's good. But for a lot of us, our health isn't always good. And for a lot of us, we have more unhealthy days than we have healthy days. And you know what? That's a huge disappointment. It makes it hard to praise God and be thankful when, once again, I have to go to another doctor with not good results. My marriage? Wow. I thought, my marriage? My marriage is multiple multiples. I keep searching for that right guy. I keep searching for that right girl. I've got a marriage, and every time I get in one of these marriages, it doesn't work out. It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't fulfill me. I guess I just can't find the right person. It's not what I thought it was going to be before I get into it. My children? My children want nothing to do with me. My children have been one colossal disappointment. They've gone on about their lives. They don't call. They don't write. They don't visit. I don't think it matters to them that I'm alive. And that hurts. My extended family, they've disowned me. My extended family hasn't talked to me in over 20 years. By the way, that one is true in my life. I just throw that out. We'll talk about that later, all right? Christ causes problems everywhere you go. My job, how about my multiple jobs? I've tried so many different jobs, and nobody, I just can't seem to fit. I can't get with the right boss. I can't get in the right place. I'm not making enough money. I can't pay my bills. I've got no friends. I sit home every night and I watch reruns on TV. And I have no friends that want to get with me or do anything. Actually, when I look at my life, I am really lonely and I don't know what to do. Okay, now that I've depressed us all, but I'm talking for the believer in Christ. This could be reality, because life at times is very, very disappointing. So I'm reading through the Psalms, and I'm looking for a psalm, this is a couple months ago, that might give us some exercises or stuff that we can do that would help us in our thankful attitude and thankful spirit. And I think I've got one here that you're going to enjoy, and it's Psalm 77. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and look at the wall here so you can see it go by. But I'm not going to start off on verse 11. I'm going to start off in verse 7 because I want you to see how verse 7 is how I feel sometimes. Listen to the psalmist who says this: "Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable?" Ever felt that way? "His steadfast love forever, has it ceased? Are His promises done and at the end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious to me? Has He in His anger shut up His compassion?" This is all leading up to what's on the wall here. "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High." Now look at the scripture for the day from Psalm 77, verse 11. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your children, your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that once again your scripture is honest and realistic to the life that I live. And sometimes it feels like you've stopped blessing. Sometimes it feels like you've stopped being gracious. Sometimes it just feels like I'm alone even from you. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we work through this scripture and these exercises that you would reacquaint us with you in a deep and intimate way to understand what you're doing, how you're doing it, and, Father, most of all, that we might come out with the response of being thankful to you. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd sit down, it's imperative this morning that you have a note sheet. Does everybody have a note sheet? So I really want you to do this. You don't? This gentleman here, John, will come around and give you a note sheet for this morning's sermon. You need to have this because it will explain to you the four exercises that we're going to do this morning. Don't be threatened by it, but it's pretty good, okay? This psalm was written by Asaph from a situation of extreme distress because he knew and was anxious about the fact that Judah was about to be punished by God at the hand of an invading enemy. He knew, revealed from God, that God was mad at what they were doing and was going to allow an invader to come in and take over and punish them and possibly kill them. Everybody got that? Good. Now, earlier in the psalm, he said that he was faint because he had this knowledge. He even wondered, as we read, whether the Lord would ever again show his favor and love, would renew his promises, his mercy, his compassion. All the things I have felt before where I would never shake my fist at God. That's more theatrical. But I would do this with God. Hey! Where are you? Do you not see what's going on here? And how you're the only one that could take care of this? Even that gets a little on the edge for me to say, but I know you feel that way, so do I. And so here are four things I want you to have. The first exercise in your notes is this, from verses 10 and 11. Remember the deeds of the Lord. Let me read this to you from Asaph, writing this. This I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. The first point is this morning. First exercise is to remember the deeds of the Lord. The key word here is remember. It's on your notes. You know what remember means? Remember means to deliberately call to mind. Simple as that. Can you remember what's in your hallway, what's the picture that's on the wall in your hallway, and you immediately go like this, and you put yourself in the situation, and you're thinking of your hallway and thinking of the pictures that are there, and you picture them, and you deliberately bring them up and go, yes, that's the picture of so-and-so, and the picture of so-and-so, and the picture of so-and-so. It's to deliberately call to mind, and in this case, to deliberately make yourself do it and call to your mind the deeds and the miracles of the Lord. Let's keep going here. I think it's a good practice in your quiet time to remember the deeds and the work of the Lord in your life up to this point in time. In fact, if you want to have a little fun, think of what the Lord has done up to this point in time. Then think what you know from Scripture, the promises He's already made to you for the future events that involve you. You come to HD Bible study and we're looking at eschatology real intimately. And you read through some of the passages in Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and then Revelation and then Daniel. And you start to realize that there's a whole future that you're going to be involved with that's nothing but fantastic. Well, you can recall some of that stuff too and use it to praise the Lord. But Asaph is saying here that he understands after these years of involvement with the God, with this personal Lord, that God has done some things and nothing was left to chance. God was in control. I want you to notice, if you've taken some notes, it's important to do this. Asaph was going to remember the deeds and works of the Lord from the beginning. This was going to be a review of God's history with his people. Listen carefully right now. I want you to get this. Anybody can do a history of God's people, start reading through the Old Testament, go to the New Testament, see what God did and how he interacted with his people. Make a list. That's pretty cool to see what God did. But you know what's even better than that for me? I like to go to another file over here, and what I like to do is open that file, and I like to think this way. Look what God did with me personally. Look what God did for me personally. What he has done, what he continues to do, and what he promises to do for me personally. I know what he did for Israel. I know what he did for the early church. But now we're talking me. Look what he has done for me. If you start to think that way, it starts to up the ante as far as you're personally thanking him. Now you've got a personal history with God. How did he move? How did he act? What did he do? How did he direct you? How did he teach you? How did he change you? How did he mold you? See, our tendency is always to focus on the problems. But we seldom focus on the really cool stuff that God's been doing, has done, continues to do, and is going to do. Just me. And I'm not selfish, but forget about you for a minute. Me and Him alone. This is what He does for me and to me and will do with me going forward. It's a deliberate remembering of the obvious facts of what God has done. Okay, here's the first exercise. It's Thanksgiving time. Here's the first exercise. Can you think of something the Lord has done in your life? Just think about it right now. Something the Lord has done in your life. And would you like to take 30 seconds and share it with us? I'm walking around with the microphone. 30 seconds. What has God done in your life that you could share with everybody else that would encourage us? What would that be? Anybody want to do that? Okay, here we go. You want to stand up so we can see your face?
Of course.
Good job. Thank you.
Well, if any of y'all have ever heard me pray, I usually pray the same prayer. I'm so thankful for my life. I was blessed with a wonderful family. I had a fantastic childhood. I was blessed with the patience to wait for this guy to come on. So I wouldn't be a spinster or whatever. And then He blessed me with two wonderful boys that are practically perfect in every way. So I've been blessed all my life.
Wow, I got to get a mom like that. Just say one nice thing about me. That'd be really cool. Well, guys, you embarrassed now?
No.
Both of you? Okay, you hear that all the time, don't you?
No.
Okay, good. And well, 30 seconds. Share something with us.
30 seconds?
Yes.
No, she said that again.
30 seconds.
Okay. And I'd be glad to share this story with you sometime when I have more than 30 seconds. But I was on my way to West Virginia University. I thought to play football. And out of the clear blue, ended up at Grove City College, which totally changed my life. I mean, a 180 degree. And it was absolutely all God.
Amen. God does that. Takes us off the path we thought we should be on and takes us another place for a purpose, for a reason. Talk to David and get the rest of the story and see some of the cool stuff that went on in his life. I'm not kidding. It's worth hearing. Anybody else want to share? What has God done to you and for you?
Not only has God given me a place to come where I can worship, but a place where I can come and help out to help others worship too.
Okay. That's really cool stuff, and we do appreciate it. And apparently it's got your stock rising with your mom. Almost perfect. Makes you wonder which one of them's not quite good enough, but almost perfect. I'm sorry. That's wrong. But we're family. We can have fun. We're having dinner today. Get to laugh and enjoy each other's company. Anybody else want to share something God's done in your life?
You know, I'm very thankful that God called me to adoption and that not only that, but then He turned around and gave me an opportunity to serve other adoptive families, and it's just been a blessing.
Really cool. This whole thing about ministry is something you just do at the church is a lie. Ministry really is what you do away from the church, where God has placed you strategically, and Kathy is evidence of that.
God blesses me all the time. As far as I wanted to be a football coach, He let me be a football coach. I wanted to be an actor, He let me be an actor. But it all started with a woman who I married, prayed for me for 10 years, and God ran me over with a Jeep to bring me to Him.
Okay. That's another great story you need to hear. If you don't know that story, his wife hired a Jeep and tracked him down. And I've got it. It's an amazing thing. No, you realize I'm just having fun with this, all right? Okay, good.
Yes, God has blessed me with a very good, healthy life, a long life up until now. And I thank God every day for being born in this country, especially lately.
Good. Appreciate it. Yeah, you think it's by accident you happen to live in this locale and this country and this? It's not by accident. It's where God designed to put you for effect. Anyway, there's going to be another chance to share a little bit later, so if you didn't now, you can be thinking about something. But
I feel very blessed that God let me find Greg so early, being 16 years old, and Darby's 16 now, so I'm like, oh gosh, the guy she starts dating could end up to be her husband. But just to find somebody that young, I think, in the age that I grew up in is kind of rare. So I've been with him longer than I've been with my parents. But just to also grow up with such a great relationship with my parents my whole life, and, you know, with my mom passing away and stuff, I feel like my dad and I have really connected in a deeper way. And he's such a good dad and grandpa, and I love him.
Good job. Anybody else like to share something? Here, sir.
Don't feel bad about getting emotional, because I do that too. I think about this question as I look at it, and I think he's done everything in my life. Just being here. And the trials that are put forth at times. And he's answered my prayers on coming back to church.
Excellent. Good job. We're glad you're here, Brian. It's really been good. Okay, we'll get back to this in just a couple of minutes. Keep thinking. See if there's something that you need to share. Exercise number two. Look at verse 12 with me, if you would, okay? It says this, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. The second exercise is to do just that, to meditate on his works. What we talked about previously is great, but now it deepens. Now it goes down to heart matter. Honestly, now it goes down to a place you might not be able to share. And that's pretty good. That word ponder or meditate means to consider earnestly. It means to study intensely. It means to turn it over and over and over in your mind and then to speak of what's in your heart. Not going to pick on you, Alicia, but there was a time that you fell in love with Greg, correct?
Probably.
Okay, yes. Really slow answer there. Wow. You were pondering that answer. That's good, okay. You know, the truth of the matter is when you got to that place of thinking that you loved him, like any other couple, when you get together, one person typically gets to the I love you before the other. Am I hung out here? Does everybody get this? Okay, you get that, right? They say guys are the first ones to say I love you. I don't know if that's true or not, but always from our resident scholar, Glenn, always. But listen carefully. The reality is when you come to that place, guy or gal, and you realize that you do love somebody, and you can all relate to this, the fact of the matter is, what do? You play it over and over and over and over and over and over and hold it. When the first time that that person says back to you, I love you. Remember that bone-chilling moment, how cool that was? And after it happened, you went home, you left, and you played it over and over and over in your mind. And then sooner or later in there, that all come out of your mouth as you blurted it out to friends, family, everybody. He said he loves me! That he loves me! That he loves me! It's about how it was, right, Steve? Okay, I got it. That's the truth, okay? Listen, this is a good exercise. This is to seriously mull over and concentrate in your mind some of the actions of God in your life. And when you do this, there's a resulting action. And that is you'll have to share. You'll have to tell it to others, and we're not going to do that right now, but this is what I'd like you to do. Could you bow your head right now? Exercise number two. Could you bow your head right now, and could you ponder some of his works? Could you think, and I'm not going to give you an example, but could you think about something that God does and is, and could you ponder that right now for just a minute in silence? And turn it over and over in your mind and look at it from different sides and realize how fantastic this one thing is that you're pondering. Let's do that for 1 minute, just a short minute. Amen. Listen, a lot of us study the scripture, have some quiet time with the Lord. It's an important practice. When you do, this is how it always works. I read the scripture. I make my notes. I go to prayer with my goodie list of stuff I want from God that I haven't got yet. Even forget to say thank you for the stuff I already got because I moved on to the stuff I really want. It's getting close to Christmas. You got to have a list. And you know what? Seldom do I take the time to do that kind of stuff and ponder over and over in light of how tough life can be sometimes and ponder the things that what God has done in my life and let that really reshape me. Third exercise is this, and it is very simply in your notes, to trust his ways. Let me read to you verses 13, 14, and 15. Asaph says, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Trust his ways. You know what that word trust means? That word trust means to totally believe somebody. And you know how you prove trust? You prove trust by action. It was like each of my kids got to a place between age 2.5 and 4 where they would say this at grandpa's pool. Hey, daddy, I want to jump in the pool. Show me how to jump in the pool. And if you know anything about my boys, it was no big deal. I'd say, go. One could even swim. Go. Dove in the deep end. And I stood there and watched them paddle for life to the other side of the pool. And then got back out and did it again. Other one was just great. But my daughter, oh, she's the one. I've had a long, ongoing relationship with her. Just a love affair of admiring her and taking care of her as a daddy, protecting her, being there for her. She still calls me every day. But I will tell you this story behind her back. She was a basic baby around the pool. And she wanted to be like her brothers, to jump in and dive in the pool. And I said, well, go ahead. That's the daddy thing. Well, go ahead. You're good. Go ahead. I'll stand right here. You're good. And you know what she'd do? She'd stand at the edge of the pool and she'd curl her toes around the edge. And she'd go, Dad, I'm scared. Dad, I'm scared. Dad, I'm scared. Well, by now I'm in the pool and I'm going like this. Jump in, I'll catch you. No, I was going to. Jump in, I'll catch you. Come on. Everybody in here has been in this situation with their kids. Jump in, I'll catch you. I promise I'll catch you. And she'd start to lean and then go back. I can't. I said, then don't worry about it. Do another. No, I got to do this now. Daddy, stay right there and catch me. And I'd stand there and go, come on. Come on. And then after my arms are tired, come on, come on. And then finally she jumped in the pool. You've all been there with your kids. This is not a weird situation. It goes on. Girls, guys have this fear of the pool. And you know what? And she got out and she did it again and she did it again. And she was so tickled and talked about it for weeks at age 3 that she could jump in the pool. It was another thing a couple years later when it came to diving. Woo! But she trusted Daddy and she did that. We trust his ways based on God's track record with his people and based on his track record with me. No other God comes even close to this God that I can trust. Not the cultic God, not the powers of evil, not the God of money, of sex, of fame, of power, of position. No other God comes close to trusting. When God says trust, he's like, jump and trust me and hold on to nothing else but me. And I jump knowing that he's there because he's proven before that he's been there for everybody else. And this picture is very scary because what it means is this. In my real life, I get into scary places. I get into lonely places. I get bad news. Things happen that disappoint. I am hurt. I cry. And God is going like this. Just trust me. Just let go and trust me. And I got you. I got you in this life, and I definitely have you in the next life. Come on. Trust me. Listen, let's do this for exercise number 3. This is a personal praise item. Look back in your life for the ways that you've trusted God, and you're not going to share right now. This is for you to bow your head for the next minute and to personally praise him for the couple of things that come right to your mind as to how you trusted him, and he was there to hold you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, to catch you when needed, to cuddle you when you were crying. Would you bow your head with me right now? And would you personally praise God by a couple events that you're naming right now as to how he saw you through, how he sustained you, how he took care of you, how he's still taking care of you. Would you personally praise him like that right now for a minute? Amen. The last exercise this morning is just to very deliberately praise and thank him with intentionality. The best time, I believe, to thank God and praise God is when you don't feel like it. The best time to praise and thank God is when things aren't going well. It means that I feel the least thankful inside, but when I look inside, I realize I've got one place to go, and that's into the presence of God. This is a vital component of my life in Christ. I acknowledge him for all he's done, all he's doing, and all he's going to do. I'm going to do this kind of praise forever. In fact, I praise God for... I'm going to ask you to share right now if you'd like to. I praise God for something about him. I praise God for the constant that he's been. Imagine if you woke up this morning and found out God was in a bad mood. It's kind of ludicrous. Well, maybe dealing with me, maybe not. Okay, he's had enough of this. But just imagine you woke up this morning and heard on the news that God has published the fact that he's in a rotten mood this morning and doesn't want to deal with anybody. How would you feel coming to church? Who do we pray to? What do we do? What do we talk about? Do I get up here and dare preach the Word of God? Or do we forget about that and go, you know, God's in a bad mood today. Let's just leave him alone. Hey, don't sing them songs too loud because it might wake him up and he'll get grumpier. You laugh, but we don't have to deal with that. A lot of other religions, their gods have moods, okay? When the volcano starts to steam, different tribes will go, oh, our God's mad. Really? And they go by whether it rains or whether it's lightning or thunder. The gods are mad. The gods are unhappy. The gods are unsettled. But the truth of the matter is, our God, no matter what the situation, weather, volcano, etc., has always been the same God. That any situation you've been going through in your life where it's been life and death and sometimes been death and hurt and loss, our God stays the same. It doesn't change. He does not change. He never will change. The God you know a little bit of now, which you're going to know a lot more about later, is even more of what you know. And it doesn't change. This is what's so cool about this. No God is like our God. I'm going to invite you to share to encourage us. This is how we talk to each other. How or what would you like to thank your God for, our God for, that doesn't change? What about him would you like to thank him for?
That in spite of my unfaithfulness, he has remained faithful always.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. Okay.
That his mercies are new every morning and we get another chance.
Yeah. That forgiveness and mercy thing has really come in handy for me. You too, huh? Yeah, how about that? There's enough mercy to cover my foul-ups, sin, attitudes. You got the idea. Actions. And that's what you want to share about God. What do you want to praise about God for the way he is? How would you elevate God sharing it with the rest of us? Here you go, Jim.
First of all, I'd like to thank my loving God for giving me a loving wife for 59 years. He's kept us healthy during that time. Even through a bad car accident 3 years ago, I laid in the hospital unconscious for 30 days. And the people that came in to visit, many of them said, they said, Marge, you don't know how fortunate you are, but I'm afraid that he's going to die. After 60 more days in the hospital for a total of 90 days, I was able to walk back in church on a Sunday morning, and everything turned out wonderful. And I just know that the good Lord is saving me for something special.
Wow, that's a great story. And that's a great testimony about God. So that's what we're doing this morning. Anything else you'd like to thank and praise God for about him this morning that's meant so much to you?
That he has given me godly examples in my life to follow and to teach me to persevere.
Amen. Amen.
How much I owe you? No, it's kind of a different concept, I guess, but just maybe thanking him for the things that he did not give us because maybe it wasn't right for us at the time.
Boy, that's good. That's got an element of depth to it. Thank you. What did God not give you that you wanted so bad, but it wasn't for your good? Wow. Okay, we can close in prayer now. That was wonderfully said. You must be the perfect one. Sorry. That was wrong. Anybody else want to give a word real quick before I close this time? What do you like to praise and thank God for about him? That's meant so much to Laura in the back. Here we go.
I'm just thankful that he pursues us, that he loved us first because we would not have sought after him.
Excellent. God the pursuer.
I'm just grateful to God for his faithfulness in spite of my unfaithfulness.
God is faithful. That's fantastic. Okay, listen to me carefully. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now if you do that with me. Listen carefully. Can you look at your life these past few weeks, maybe even this past couple of months? Can you honestly say that thankfulness and praise to God has been a key component of your heart life just over the past couple of weeks and past couple of months? Has it been your pattern to outwardly praise him? because you've been inwardly praising Him? Is that you? And when times are tough, what's the first thought that you have? And when times are tough, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Our Father and our God, we thank You that we could look at this scripture this morning. And we as a group in one voice do declare that You are our God. You have done so much for us. You continue to do so much for us. You will do so much for us all through eternity. And so, Father, we praise You. We thank You. And we respond according to what Romans 12 says. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices for Your work, for Your effort, for Your cause in the kingdom, and for Your glory. Father, we ask that You take us and spend us. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me for worship?